everyone. Happy August. Happy end of the summer. And as we move into the fall and our fall programming, I, Megan, from the Popular Materials Department, am here today with another of our librarians, Sarah.
Hello.
To talk to you about one of our upcoming events that we are pretty excited about. It is the Battle of the Books. And this will be our third year running the Battle of the Books for adults.
Woo! Yes, we had to do it virtually last year and it actually went pretty well. So we thought we would do it all over again.
Yeah. If you are not sure what the Battle of the Books is, it's basically a trivia program. But all of the trivia questions are taken from a set of six books. So it's not like, oh, if I don't know about this topic, I'm not going to win, because anybody can know about it because everybody is invited to read these six books and all of the questions come from them.
And the questions are going to be single answer format, not multiple choice, but they will be straightforward trivia questions where we ask you, you know, what happened in a book or what was the name of this character? So all of these questions can definitely be learned just by reading the books.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun over the last couple of years. We were inspired by the children's department to start this event. So in addition to the trivia, which is fun, we also have team names and sometimes costumes. and that part of the event is a lot of fun too. You can create the team however you want. You can have up to six members as part of your team. And you can be all from one household, you can be all from one neighborhood, however you want to get your team together is just fine by us. And then you can split up the books however you want to. Maybe you want to read all six, or maybe you only want to read one and everybody in your group becomes an expert on just one book.
And despite the name Battle of the Books for Adults, that's indicating that the books we've chosen are adult books, but that doesn't mean that anyone younger is not allowed to participate. It's definitely open to all ages and interest levels if you're willing to read the books that we've chosen.
Yeah. And for a little extra fun this year, we've also partnered with libraries across SLC. So it might not be only Clinton and Macomb Township residents you're battling. We have libraries from Centerline, Chesterfield, Harrison Township, Roseville, the McDonald Library in New Baltimore, and Sterling Heights, among others, who may be joining us in this countywide suburban library cooperative Battle of the Books in November 2021.
Yes. So if you have a library card from any of the suburban library cooperative libraries, even the ones that are not officially listed here, you are eligible to participate and we would love to have you come.
And when exactly would people expect to do this, Sarah?
It is on Saturday, November 13th, 2021 at 2 p.m. This will be a virtual event on Zoom to accommodate everybody who might be interested. We are asking that everyone register their teams by November 11. So you can wait to decide if you think you can read all the books up until almost the last minute. We'll just need your registrations in 2 days before the event.
All right, let's do it. So the first book out of the six is a book that I guarantee you have heard of before. It is The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. Now this was sort of like the headliner adult book for the Clinton Macomb Public Library's 1-2-3 race program last year. But aside from that, it was a New York Times bestseller. It was a bestseller in lots of different lists, one of the best books of the year. It is Britt Bennett's sophomore novel, and it is about the Veen sisters, Desiree and Stella, two sisters growing up in a small town in Louisiana. They are both very light-skinned African-American girls who leave home to go to New Orleans, and at this point, fairly young in their lives, they have a split where Stella leaves New Orleans. Desiree doesn't know why. And the readers discover that Stella has lived the second part of her life as a white woman, keeping her past hidden from everyone in her current life, whereas Desiree eventually returns to the small town where they grew up. And in later years, their daughters come to know each other. I have read this book. I thought it was great. I really liked the way that it took readers through different decades. I thought that all of the characters, all of the, you know, the smaller, more side characters, the love interests, the people that come in and out of their college lives were just really fully realized. I thought the writing was beautiful and it was really compelling. It managed to be both literary and a page turner. And I think that's something really special to accomplish from an author.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I will say the only complaint that our book club members had after reading it was they wanted to know more.
Yeah.
They didn't want it to end.
Yeah. And I think that if that's the biggest complaint, then you've got a pretty solid book.
Yeah.
And so this might be a book that you've even read already, or a book that you want someone else to read if you read it last year and you can push it on your friends that you have to read this book so we can do Battle of the Books. And also it's amazing.
Yes. Okay. Our second title that we've chosen for Battle of the Books is Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson. This was a Today Show Read with Jenna book club pick in fall of 2019. And is also going to be discussed at CMPL's Books on Tap book club on September 13th, Monday, September 13th at 6 p.m. And this one, well, I haven't read it yet because, you know, it's upcoming book club, but it says, in Kevin Wilson's beguiling and heartwarming novel, two old friends reunite under the strangest of circumstances. Lillian and Madison haven't spoken since they were inseparable roommates at boarding school, but now, more than 10 years later, Madison needs Lillian's help in raising her twin stepkids. The catch is that the twins spontaneously combust when they get agitated, their skin igniting with beautiful, startling flames. Lillian accepts the job, and over one humid, demanding summer, everything she thought she knew about love, family, and empathy is turned completely and irreversibly upside down.
That sounds weird.
Yes. So it sounds weird, children who spontaneously catch on fire, but everyone I know who's read it says that this book is both funny and heartwarming. So I have high hopes for this one.
Yeah, funny and heartwarming sounds like a good combo. Something a lot of people could use a read like that right now.
Yes.
And there's definitely time to read it, not only before Battle of the Books, but before the Books on Tap. If you've never come to that before, that will also be a virtual event in September, right, Sarah?
Yep, that will also be on Zoom. We just ask that you sign up through the CMPL events page, but newcomers are always welcome.
Perfect. The next book in our list is sort of our Michigan pick. So I said we've done this for 3 years now, and we always try to pick at least one book that has a strong local connection. And so book number three is The Wicked Sister by Karen Dion. Now, it's a Michigan pick, but it is set in the UP. So while it starts out in Ann Arbor, they move up to the UP early in the book. So in terms of distance, you know, it might be pretty far from CMPL, but I feel like there's a lot of people in this area who've spent time up north. And Karen Dion's a couple books that she's written, she wrote The Marsh King's Daughter, which came out before The Wicked Sister, but this one too, The Wicked Sister, they're very outdoorsy. The characters in them have strong connections to the natural world, but they are both definitely thrillers. In The Wicked Sister, we start with the younger sister, Rachel, who has been in a mental hospital for the last 15 years. I forget what it's called. It's a real place that was closed before the book takes place. She says that's the one liberty she took with the psychiatric facility still being open when it is actually closed in real life. But Rachel has left herself to really grow up in this psychiatric facility because she believes that she killed her parents. However, she comes to know that there is more to the story than she remembers. And there are pieces of evidence that contradict her own memories. So she's there under her own volition. So she decides to check herself out and learn more about what happened to her parents and what happened on this last day of their lives. And then for 2 weeks after her parents were killed, she was missing. And she does not remember anything that happened in that time. And so readers learn with Rachel sort of how her family came to be there, what was going on in her family with the dynamics, and then finally what happened that last day and what happened to Rachel. So she's missing memories. It's definitely a little bit of the unreliable narrator that's so popular in thrillers, because Rachel doesn't trust herself. She doesn't trust herself at first emotionally. Like, she thinks she's a bad person. She thinks she did this. And then she thinks, well, if I didn't do it, why do I think I do? She doesn't trust her own memories. So it's definitely a page turner. I think that Karen Dion does Michigan really well. You know, aside from the thing that she admits with this, you know, difference, I think that she portrays the landscape and the people really well. So that's the book number three, The Wicked Sister by Karen Dion.
All right. And book number four, we have tried to diversify our genres a little bit here to give more of a broad spectrum of types of reading. So for our fourth pick, we went with a fantasy novel. It's called The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab. And in case anyone is scared off by the term fantasy, I will say that this isn't really like an intense stereotypical fantasy. It's more, everything is set in the real world, but with magic, because the story of Addie LaRue is that in France in 1714, Addie is a young woman who is being forced into an arranged marriage, as is natural, but she does not want to be married. She wants to be free to live her own life. And in desperation, she prays to all the gods she can think of, but the one who answers makes a bargain with her. And you always have to be careful with the wording of these bargains, because she asks to be free and she ends up cursed to live forever and be forgotten by everyone she meets. And so this novel then spans 300 years as Addie makes her way through the world, trying to figure out the boundaries of her curse, but also figure out how she can still make some sort of impact in the world without being remembered by anyone. And here's the fun twist. In New York City in 2014, Addie walks into a bookstore and meets a young man who does remember her name. And this is the first time that's ever happened. And now, of course, she needs to figure out why. And it's a very poetic kind of book. I really love the writing style and the language in this novel. It's very beautifully written. And there's themes throughout about the power of art, books, and music as a way of leaving one's mark in the world.
I haven't read this one yet, but it's definitely on my list. It's been a bestseller too. And while it's generally talked about as a fantasy novel, you know, it's covers 300 years. So I've heard it has elements of historical novels. And then there's this, you know, man who remembers her. So is there romance there? And then the philosophical nature is, what is a life worth? And
yes, all of those elements come together in what I thought was a very beautiful way.
I haven't read it yet, but it's on my list. I've also heard the audio is really good. And the audio, as we discovered, is available on Hoopla. So there's no waiting. Okay. I will take book number five, which I just finished this morning. It's a very short read called Afterlife by Julia Alvarez. This takes us back to more of a contemporary literary fiction. It is one of those books that doesn't use quotation marks. And usually I hate that. But I felt like in this book, it really worked. It's the story of Antonia, who is a recently retired college English professor and poet, and she's our narrator. So there's lots of poetry that's woven into this book as well. She's also recently widowed. And so she lives in sort of rural Vermont alone after not being alone and not expecting to be alone. You know, she had this community in her work and her students, and she had her husband, and now she's by herself. And she's coming to think about sort of the same things, you know, what is a life worth? How do you make an impact on the world? And what do you do when the people you were living for aren't alive anymore? And the story is described often as, you know, there's this retired professor who takes in an undocumented immigrant who is pregnant, who ends up on her doorstep, ends up on her garage, in her garage, actually. And that is part of the story. But what I did not realize would be so much a part of the story is that Antonia is one of four sisters, and they're all in their 60s. And the way that the sisters relate to each other and the way that the sisters deal with crises as they come about in the book was really sweet and also crazy making, the way that sisters sometimes are. I have three sisters myself, and that too, you know, the who you are to someone else is not always who you think of as yourself. And that's part of the book too. The whole thing takes place over the course of about 250 pages and about, you know, 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. So it's very compact, and despite the fact that it doesn't use quotation marks, it was very readable and affecting. So liked it.
And then for our sixth and final pick, we always have tried to do one nonfiction title in our battle. And our nonfiction book this year is called The Stranger in the Woods, The Extraordinary Story of the Last True Hermit by Michael Finkel. And this is the true story of a man who lived alone in the woods of Maine for 27 years. So in 1986, a shy and intelligent 20-year-old named Christopher Knight left his home in Massachusetts, drove to Maine, and disappeared into the forest. He would not have a conversation with another human being until nearly three decades later, when he was arrested for stealing food. Living in a tent, even through brutal winters, he had survived by his wits and courage, developing ways to store edibles and water and to avoid freezing to death. He broke into nearby cottages for food, clothing, reading material, and other provisions, taking only what he needed, but unsurprisingly terrifying the community who was never able to solve these mysterious burglaries. So this book was then based on extensive interviews with Christopher Knight himself and is an account of his secluded life, as well as the challenges he faced since returning to the world.
This has got to be one of those things where truth is stranger than fiction.
Yep.
And I haven't read this book myself, but I'm quite sure they did it for one of our nonfiction book clubs, Let's Get Real. And the librarian who, one of the librarians who does that club, Kathy, said that this book reads like fiction, that it is just a crazy and intense story and very, just, you can't put it down. So those are our six picks for the Battle of the Books. Like we said, it's in November. You've got plenty of time to put your team together and get through as many as you can, but they're all worth reading. All of the books are available in person, so we have physical copies of them. We also have them available through Libby if you prefer to read on a Kindle or a tablet, as well as audio copies, many in large print.
Yep.
So whatever is your preferred format, we can accommodate.
Yep. And we at CMPL have purchased extra physical copies and extra e-copies of these books. So if you don't have a CMPL card, bring your SLC card over here, get it registered with our system, and you can check out our print books.
Yeah. But the event is a lot of fun. And either way, we've put together what we think is a pretty good list of books.
Yeah. And I don't know, did we mention that we have prizes?
I don't think we did.
There will be prizes for our first, second, and third place winners in terms of trivia knowledge, but we also give out prizes for spirit or anything else that strikes our fancy. So this is where that creative team name or fun group costume could earn you some extra stuff.
Yeah. yeah. Because it's about reading, but it's also about having fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we hope to see you there. If you have any questions, you can give us a call. Otherwise, you can register now. Registration for Battle of the Books is open now, and we hope to see you then.
Yeah.